After 6 years as director of the Allegheny County Health Department, Dr. Karen Hacker is leaving for a job at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. During her high-profile tenure, Dr. Hacker took on the opioid crisis and the enforcement of air pollution permits for industrial plants, including Clairton Coke Works, the largest coke-making facility in North America. Oliver Morrison is an environment reporter for Public Source, and he interviewed Karen Hacker for a piece about her time on the job. Morrison says initially, Hacker asked about a stricter smoking ban, a sugar tax, and the possibility of shutting down the Clairton plant. She was quickly told by staff those would be outside the legal authority of her department.
She was told early on that she had to be careful about how she used her resources because there was a lot of these limitations. And so what she realized early on in her department is that the legal team she had wasn't ready to take on that challenge. She needed to replace them, and they needed to slowly start ratcheting up the pressure. Here's a little bit of what she said about that.
The regulatory world is super challenging from a whole lot of reasons, you know, like this constant question of what can I do? Are we going to end up in court for the next 20 years because what we did was totally out of our jurisdiction? How does that then serve the population of Allegheny County?
In the article, she's described in one way as a reformer, someone who took over this dysfunctional agency. As you mentioned, the legal department was not up to snuff. What was the department like when she came in?
According to everyone I talked to, it was just really disorganized. They didn't have any heads of departments. They were lacking some really basic information. Like, they didn't know where in the county there were particular diseases or how many, or they couldn't access that data and get it to people. If any of the people listening think about Karen Hacker in a time that they've seen her in public recently, probably one of the things they most remember is her putting on her PowerPoint slide. She has these really detailed maps where she talks about cancer rates and looks at where in the county are these problems occurring, like who is suffering the most. And she's found, you know, some trends such as, you know, that the low-income African-American population has been suffering, but also that a lot of the health problems have moved down towards the Mon Valley. And so because she's been able to organize the department better and access more data, that we know a lot more about the health issues in the county.
So what kinds of progress has she been able to make?
One of the things I think she'd point to is decreased lead levels in children. So one of the big crises that happened was in 2016. Suddenly, the lead in the Pittsburgh water supply was above the EPA threshold. And one of the things she came in and did is she took all that data that she'd gathered and helped PWSA say, hey, where should we be changing lead lines? Where does it matter the most? And she pointed to even street by street where children were showing the most elevated lead levels, and that's led to a decline in those lead levels.
And that was lead that was coming from lead paint in their homes.
A lot of it was coming from lead paint in their homes, but there was a public outcry about lead in the water because this is following the crisis in Flint. Actually, we have a little clip here where Karen talks about how frustrated she was that people wouldn't listen to her.
You know, when I went out and said that, okay, water, we have a problem with water, but the fact is that our bigger problem is with paint. It was not met with we agree with the doctor. It was met with, no, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And that's frustrating.
What did she have to say about air quality progress?
So I think this has probably been the most prominent and controversial part of her legacy. I think what her critics would say is that she moved too slowly. They're happy now because she started ratcheting up pressure. She instituted $1 million fines. There have been more than $2 million in fines against U.S. Steel for the pollution at Clairton Coke Works and surrounding facilities, which is the most that there's ever been. She's doing more than there's ever been done before. Her critics would say that that was still too little. We're not seeing enough progress. We're still seeing pollution that is some of the highest and worst in the nation.
I mean, Dr. Hacker has received a lot of criticism over the years, especially as regards the Clairton Coke Works. There was a fire on Christmas Eve for pollution control equipment, and the health department did not notify the Mon Valley community that's most impacted for several days after that fire. You know, what does she say about that and what the public perception of her is?
I think pretty quickly after that Clairton Coke Works fire, after they notified the public and there was a big public backlash, they realized they messed up, that they needed to get that information to people sooner. Perversely, all that negative backlash actually changed the political atmosphere. You started to see politicians coming forward, and a lot of her critics would say that this is what enabled her to act.
So I have always said, and I believe this, that you cannot achieve all of these goals simply by regulation. And that there has to be leadership that puts pressure on the industry. And I also would hope that the leadership of the industry itself starts to get with the program. Because I think it takes all of those things to really get the kinds of improvements that everybody wants.
I think one of the interesting things about Dr. Hacker's relationship to leadership, and what one of the things I heard a lot from air quality advocates, is that they were saying that there's been this pressure from industry or different people to not be very aggressive on regulation. Now, when I asked Dr. Hacker about that, she was really frank. She said sometimes she gets calls from people who think that they can lean on her and get her to maybe be a little bit less aggressive in some way or another. She says, you know, that she's ethical and she doesn't do that. But she's faced that pressure. And here's something she said about that.
I think it's really up to the individual in this position to hold their ground and do the right thing. But I also think it's up to this individual to figure out how to get it done. And sometimes that means a little bit more roundabout and not necessarily direct.
And so your article that she talks about sort of working through the system instead of from outside of the system to get things done. Does she have any advice for what the public health priorities for the health department or the region should be moving forward?
One of the most interesting things she said was that she's in the process of starting to develop a climate action plan at the county. She's saying, like, the next health director and future health directors need to look at what are the health consequences of these rising temperatures. There's going to be potentially more disease. That pollution that they think they've been getting under control may be harder to get under control as the temperatures rise. Ozone, we know, is a more difficult problem as it gets hotter. There's going to be things like West Nile virus. There's going to be more allergens in the air. And so she is trying to get the county to think about what are all these problems that we're going to be facing increasingly in the future.
Well, thanks, Oliver.
Thank you.
Oliver Morrison is the environment reporter for Public Source. There's a link to his story about Dr. Karen Hacker at our website, alleghenyfront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.